This is the year of fusion, and as we were really seeking the Lord early on in August, the Lord just really impressed on me some terms that I'm going to share with you today, terms you may never heard of before, and I want to introduce some of them to you this morning of what I really believe the Lord wants to call us back into. You know, back in August, we were just coming out of the quarantine for a couple of months, and we were being all affected by this pandemic, and still we are living with all of that to this day. And what it has done in many cases, whether it's been the pandemic, whether it's been police officers, whether it's been ethnicity and the issues with that, whether it's politics, all of the things that I believe were an attempt to try to not only divide the world by the enemy, because we all know the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy. We should not be shocked that that spirit is working in our world today. Isn't that right? Yes. That we don't battle with flesh and blood, but there is a demonic current working and even using good people. I don't know about you, but how many have actually at times been used in the ministry of demonic activity? Right? Anytime you've lied about someone or you've gossiped, I can tell you that's one of the gifts of the devil. All right? And we've all operated in one of those gifts at times, and not that we wanted to, but what we have, there is a spirit of darkness. There's a spirit of killing, stealing, and destroying that's operating all around us, and really, we are the people of light. We are the people of life. We are the ones that God releases life through, the abundant life. He says, I came to give life and life more abundantly, and when he puts it into you, he's wanting you to be a light to the world. And you say, well, I don't know. I think Jesus is the light to the world. No, that's why, you know, we sing a little song that Jesus talked about kind of after the words of Jesus when he said, hide it under a bushel. What's the next line of that? Who's going to let it shine? You are. Not hide it under a bushel. No, Jesus is going to let it shine. That literally is saying, don't go and hide the light in you, because you are the light to the... I think we love to absolve ourselves of responsibility to be the light. We like to say, no, that's Christ. He's the light. I'm just one of the little peons in the kingdom of God that are just happy to be here, and I have no responsibility in the kingdom of God. Just like we love to do that in church. I'll come on Sundays, and that's my spiritual act of sacrifice to show up, rather than serving in the body of Christ. Every person that's part of this church should be involved in ministry in some way. Just because it's our gift, it's our joy to be involved in doing ministry and serving people. But we love to just say, no, you're the light, and we don't have any responsibility. And Christ is like, wrong. I am the light, and I put it in you. I'm no longer walking on earth, but you are. And I've given you the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the other, that's come to walk with you. You have a responsibility to shine. So shine, baby, shine. It's time to light up your world. It's time to light up the world with the joy of the Lord in your life, to light up the world with the words of life coming out of your mouth. Amen. Let me show you 1 Corinthians. And this is just kind of really accomplishes this. 2 Corinthians 5, it says, and he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for who? Because you are not your own. You're not your own. If you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth, you are saved, and you have now died. That's what water baptism is. You've died to yourself, and when you come up, you live as Christ. Why Paul says, to live is Christ, but to die is gain. If I'm going to live, I'm going to live for Christ. But for him who died for them and was raised again, so from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. We don't see people as obstacles. We don't see as people as those to manipulate, those people that we are wanting to control or have dominion over. We see people as objects of God's love. That is an I am working with that difficult person, but I'm not going to see him as a difficult person, even though it's hard sometimes. I'm going to see him as an object of God's love, and I have a responsibility to let him know that God loves him. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we once saw Christ as just a human in a worldly point of view, and we no longer do so. We don't do that anymore. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. I'm going to say, praise the Lord, I'm a new creation, right? All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us what? We all, you know, when hiring people over the years, for years, one of the things that they'll ask me is, what is the vision of this church? I always chuckle, and the reason I chuckle is it should be the vision of every church. If you don't know what the mission of the vision of the church is, my friend, you shouldn't be pastoring. It's the ministry of reconciliation. How we do that may be a little different, but if you aren't doing the ministry of reconciliation, you ain't the church. It is all about reconciling people to Christ, to reconciling people to the life that God wants for them. It is the ministry of reconciliation. It is the ministry of fusion, to bring people back into fusion with the kingdom of God, to bring people back into fusion of relationships. Now think about it for a moment. Think about the climate, especially the political climate, especially all of the social media things. How has it, the thing you need to ask yourself is, how has that climate caused me to be more endeared to people I'm connecting with? How has it inspired me in the vision God has for my life to be a minister of reconciliation? Has it caused me to want to reconcile or just put an end to them? Is my heart more in love with people, or is it more frustrated and angry and just done with them? Boy, it got silent in here. Because the enemy is using social media to preach its message and to radicalize you in the opposite direction of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, not looking at their actions and saying, that's why I don't want to relate with people, that's why I don't want to connect to people. Look at what they're doing, look at how they act, look at what they said. And he has committed to us, you know what that is? That's like me telling my kids, a little while ago, my sister's a missionary, and I said, that's okay, Gloria, Bailey will make you a video. Now, Bailey's an adult, but she's not married yet, so I'm still the dad that just, and I committed to her to do a video for my sister before she could ever say yes. God committed to you the ministry of reconciliation, and you don't have a choice. You can either obey or you're going to disobey. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. That's your identity. You're Christ's ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through us. Does that make sense? That's why you're the light. I just don't like, you're the way, the truth, and life. I want to be just, how many want to be like Jesus? And Jesus said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. If you want to be like Jesus, then you want to be the way, you want to be truth, and you want to be life. That's your identity. That's your identity. I just don't think, Pastor, I think that that's who Jesus is, but I just don't think I can attain that. And that's why you struggle, because you don't believe. You believe the lie that says, do you really think Christ is going to have a bride that isn't lifted to him? We're co-heirs, remember. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. So we're in a year of fusion. And here's the problem. The enemy is dividing the church. Because if you're not reconciled to one another as the bride, you'll never bring the world into reconciliation with Christ. Until you learn to reconcile with people in the body of Christ, you can't reconcile a world that is lost and in darkness and dead. I want to show you what nuclear fusion is defined as. Fusion is a nuclear reaction in which nuclei combine to form more massive nuclei with the simultaneous release of energy. There's a scripture in Deuteronomy 32 that says, how could one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 to flight? It's where we get that statement you hear all the time, where one sends 1,000 to flight to 10,000 to flight. That when we fuse together, the incredible release of energy that comes out of the body of Christ, the enemy cannot stop. You know the verse where he had sent out the 70 and he had breathed on them and they went out and did ministry and they came back and said, God, we were casting out demons and they were running and we were healing the sick. And Jesus said, it says he was rejoicing, but in the Greek or Aramaic where it was written in, he used the term that meant Jesus began to dance and jump at the sound of what they were able to do. And this is what he said. He said, I saw Satan fall like lightning. And we immediately think because they did that, we think because they did that, Satan was falling from the heavens. But here's the problem. Before we were ever created, Satan had fallen from the heavens. What Jesus was saying was, you've discovered as I have known, Satan has always been a defeated foe. He has never had the identity of a winner. He's always been the defeated one. Always. No matter what you're going through, he's always been defeated. So where one sends 1,000 to flight, two 10,000, Satan does not want that kind of math in this place. He doesn't want you coming together with unity because in John 10:10, this is his mission, is only to steal, kill, and destroy. That's what he's trying to do. Friend, that's what he's trying to do. When you get online, there are so many things that are feeding you, trying to get you to kill you, he's trying to steal from you, and he's trying to destroy you, and he's trying to destroy relationships. He's trying to pull you out of fusion. How is the enemy? So I ask you this, how is the enemy killing, stealing, and destroying mankind today? Very simply, what weapon he is using is essentially sonic warfare. Do you know that there is in California a place that the government has enlisted to create sonic warfare? That they can literally, in a crowd of people, in this crowd, they can so direct sound of a crying baby that one person in this room would hear a crying baby and no one else would hear it. That it would make, they would be like, don't you hear that? No, I don't hear anything. It makes the person, and the warfare in it is, it makes them feel like they're going crazy because they're hearing things that no one around them could hear. And Satan has been using sonic warfare for years on people. Because what you allow into your ear gate fills your heart, and out of your heart, your mouth, and your tongue determines where you end up in your future. Who are you listening to? Because they're determining your future. Who are you allowing to speak into the ear gate to fill your heart that it eventually comes out of your mouth and determines where you end up? According to James, it's like a bit in the horse's mouth, your words. It's a fire that burns down a forest. Do you know that there are 3 times more connections from your ear to your brain than from your mouth to your brain? That what you're listening to will impact you 3 times as much than what you're saying. So here's the first thing I want to talk about is the word establishes fusion. The word establishes fusion. The absence of the word of God will produce confusion. I don't think a whole lot of people fully understand how important the word of God is. We have been so brought up in religion. We've been taught, even from a young age, that whenever we approach God, we approach him through religion. And religion says your behavior is the most important thing. This is why if you've not been in Kairos, you need to go to Kairos. You need to drive to Apple Valley and come to Kairos. There's over 50 people there. So if you're coming, please let us know so we can have enough books. We ran out on Wednesday night. But the reality is this is not a behavioral gospel. This is a relationship gospel. And so the things that are most important in this relationship is not how you behave, because really your behavior affects you the most. This is how do you relate with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, the creator of the universe. That's really what this comes down to. Everything else flows out of that. He becomes the source for your life. It's not the tree of knowledge of good and evil, which is all about behavior. It's the tree of life. It's him being the source to everything in my life. Okay, does that make sense? Well, look at this. This is gonna show you. I'm gonna give you a lot of scriptures. John 1 through 2 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and he was with God in the beginning. Who was the Word? Jesus. He says he was in the beginning. That's what, and in Kairos we talk about this, the tree of life, I believe, was Christ in the garden. Why? He said, I am the way, the truth, and what was the tree in the garden that they ate of? Life, the tree of life. I believe he was the tree in the garden that was sustaining them. It goes on and says this, through him all things were made. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made, had been made. You go to Genesis, it talks about the Trinity is literally in Genesis, and I'll show you that in a moment. But Jesus was the Word that became creation. And you'll see this as we go on. It says, without him was nothing, was made that has, let me read it again. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. Do you believe that? Right? Well, let's look at this then. The Son is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation, for in him all things were created. Right? Things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, which you should stop and say there are invisible things. What are some invisible? Gravity, for instance, right? Whether thrones or powers or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him. And who are you created for? For him. Coming to Christ is this realization that I've been reconciled for him. Ask yourself, my life, how has it brought glory to him? It does not bring glory to him when we are divided with people. You say, but they're not nice people. It does not bring glory to the Father when you're not reconciled to people. What it brings is chaos. Look at this. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Right? How many believe that? That it's because of him all things hold together. Look at this next verse. You are worthy, our Lord and God, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they were created and have their being. Who is the cement, the connecting thing of all of creation? Jesus. And when you remove him from the equation, what are you going to end up with? Chaos. When you take truth out of life, who's truth? Jesus. you remove them from your life, you can expect chaos is going to increase no matter how much you pray. Doesn't matter how much you fast and pray, chaos is going to enter the world. Do you know why our country is seeing a diminishing effect or an increasing effect of chaos, a diminishing thing of stability? You know why that is? It's because the church has stayed silent within their walls. We didn't take seriously the ministry of reconciliation. And because we haven't taken serious the ministry of going out and bringing people into the kingdom of God and reconciling people, we've seen the diminishing effect of morality in our society. We've seen the effects of that. And now we go to our knees and we're asking God to essentially cover that mistake. And you know what God's saying? Go make disciples. Go do the ministry of reconciliation and you will see a country change. Amen. But it comes back to us picking up our responsibility. Remember the series I did in responsibility? Your irresponsibility becomes someone else's responsibility. Right? Except no one's picking it up. It goes on, and this is what it says in Genesis. In the beginning was God. God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. So there was this matter that was essentially all over. God created the matter, the movement, and this is an important part, over the surface of the deep, and the Spirit of the God was hovering over the waters, which means the Holy Spirit was moving. That's why I've always said the Holy Spirit never stopped moving. The Holy Spirit is always moving. It's like right now, I don't know about you, but how many listen to the radio, right? Do you know the station you listen to on the radio is playing right now in this room? But you can't hear it because you don't have a receiver. The Holy Spirit in God's presence is in this room, and if you have ears to hear and eyes to see, you will know it. You will know it. But he's in this room right now. The power of your healing is in this room right now. The power of your deliverance, the power of your joy, the power of peace, essentially the words of life that you need to hear are in this room right now. You just need a receiver. That's why Jesus said, he that has ears, let them hear. Let them hear. So he's hovering, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. Who is the word that came from God's mouth? Jesus was the word that came out. In the beginning was the word. When the word was spoken, they were there. The Trinity actively working in the universe. This is important. This part right here where he says that the Spirit, go back to that verse, where the Spirit of God was hovering over. The other word for hovering is vibration. And what we know because of physics, and physics is technically a very new science, and people who have a problem with science, we should have a conversation. Because science is merely another form of theology. It really is. Science just proves what God did. It explains how God created things. The problem with science is there's too many people who are ignorant trying to interpret it. So you're going to hear me use science because it's essentially God's word in physical form, right? Where Sir Isaac Newton said, I discovered how centrifugal force works. God is incredible at how he put all this together. The ignorant sciences of today say there is no God, so we got to figure out somehow else that it happened, which is just ignorance. Look at this. Everything in the universe has a vibration. The chair you're sitting on has a vibration. If you break down everything past protons and electrons and you go down to quarks and you just keep breaking down every molecule, what you find out, what physicists have discovered is everything is a vibration. that you are physically a vibration. The earth has a vibration. In fact, they have actually had these satellites that they send out, these whatever you call them, that go out, and they have sounds of what Saturn sounds like. There's a vibration sound, a hum that you hear of different places you go around the universe. Everything in creation has a vibration. Can I tell you why that is so significant? You say, why is that so significant? Because remember in Genesis, it was a spoken word, vibration of the voice. Physicists have been trying to figure out for years what is the source of the vibration. I think we know what it is. I think we know where it comes from. C.S. Lewis said it, a great chorus of sounds that all together make up the orchestra of heaven. That each of us, do you know that 97% of your physical body is identical to the person sitting next to you? Some of you are going, oh no, dear Lord. That 3% is awfully big. That only 3% of your physical body is different from the person, every other person in this room. Isn't it crazy that we make that 3% the bigger deal in all of our lives? That somehow separates us? But what they've done is they've actually taken the DNA of a dolphin, they've taken a DNA of many different animals, they've taken the DNA of a swan, they've taken the DNA of a human being, and they put musical notes to it, and they've actually written musical scores to the DNA of all of these created things. And they've played them. Do you know that the Bible talks about this, which is so interesting, that it says all creation declares the glory of God. That literally you are a song being sung in an orchestra of songs, of instruments. Now, have you ever been to an orchestra, or to an orchestra event? And before the event, and I have never been to one that's been great. I've been to my daughter's fifth grade concert in which I bought a $300 flute for my daughter and she pretended to play it. She had no idea what she's doing. And I said, I could hear you, honey. She said, Dad, you couldn't hear me. I wasn't even playing. I was pretending to play. What's interesting, when my daughter Mackenzie would sing in choir, I could swear I could hear her voice out of everyone else's voice. 100 other voices, I could swear I could hear my daughter's voice and the sound of all of that, which is a great other story, right? But before they played their instrument, everybody was playing their own thing to get ready. And then there was a... And everyone stopped, and they came into fusion with one another, and they began to play this beautiful melody. That's what happens when the body of Christ comes in fusion together and God hears the sound of a beautiful orchestra being played in Richfield and Apple Valley and Farmington and surrounding cities and says, I have a bride. She sounds beautiful, right? You know, but what's interesting is like a piano tuner. We had our piano tuned for the sounds of Christmas, and the tuner says the reason if you move that thing wrong or if you get it in a place where the environment is not conducive to it, it will take that piano out of tune. If you allow yourself to get into an environment where you're listening to things that are literally trying to destroy you, it will pull you out of tune. And it doesn't matter how good you can play and blow into that instrument, your instrument is out of tune. And you need to come back to a place and say, Holy Spirit, put me in tune. Because you are not the source to your tuning. An outside force has to come in and tune the piano. And you need an outside source to come in and tune your heart, your mind, and your will. Someone that will come in and speak a word over you, a rhema word over you that completely sets you free. You know, for a number of months, I felt like the Lord was saying, there's a new sound that I want to release in Bethel's Rock. And this really doesn't have anything, I thought is worship. We need to come up with a different worship because the people there's something going on in our people where they're not entering into worship. And God, we need a new sound. And I was thinking, really, it had everything to do with the platform. And when I was writing this message, the Lord put on my heart, this has nothing to do with the platform. It has everything to do with the orchestra. That's you. That you've been selling your heart out. You've been selling your affections to things that are destroying you. It's time to come home. It's time to bring your heart back to the heart of worship. And I'm not talking about just singing a song, but to come back to the altar of a bridegroom that loves you. Be reconciled one to another so that you can bring people to reconciliation. We need to come into one accord. We need to come into one accord. I, as your pastor, know that's not going to be easy because there's a lot of passionate people out there. You're passionate. But you need to set aside passions that have nothing to do with eternity. Set them aside. Because it's not worth dividing your heart from other people. It's not worth it. It's not worth the influence that you'll lose. See, second thing is fusion requires a frequency adjustment. Frequency is defined as it is the speed of which all matter vibrates. If everything is vibrated, there's every object has a resonance to it. And what frequency is, and it's interesting in this glass, every created thing has a frequency. You have a frequency, but you don't really know. You see this item, it really is sound that has become matter, okay? Taken matter and puts it in place. So matter has literally formed this shape because of a vibration. And you have to, I'm not... If you're in physics, you understand this, that literally they have a plate. If you take a metal plate and you put sand on it, they have a frequency that they can send through a metal plate and the sand will actually take on different shapes because the vibration determines the shape of the matter, okay? But you don't know what frequency this glass is that literally takes the shape until you strike it. It resonates its frequency. So you know what frequency it is by just hitting it. Listen, you have a frequency. You have a frequency. You have a frequency. And God wants you to come into that. He wants to line that frequency with his frequency so that you can become one. His voice is the frequency of the kingdom of God. And he wants your frequency to be in the frequency of the kingdom of God. John 10 says this, "Verily I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice," because they know his frequency. "He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his frequency." They know his voice. "But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice." Some of you are trusting voices of men and women you have never met in your life, but because you got a blog or you got something on social media, you believe it. You know why you believe it? Because you want to believe it's true. So you're willing to give credibility to someone you have never met because what they're saying is what you want to believe is true. You don't know your frequency until you've been struck. And when you've gotten struck in, is that even a word? It just sounded good. When you got struck, maybe you'd notice your frequency wasn't the frequency of the kingdom of God. Maybe it was the frequency of a dying world. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. Ministry of reconciliation. They too will listen to my frequency. And there shall be one flock and one shepherd, one accord, one in one. We are not separate. We are one body that has been walking around like we have everybody wanting to do their own thing and say their own thing with no respect for the fact that we are the body of Christ. I'm going to say what I want to say, and I don't care what anyone thinks about it. I'm so angry. I'm going to do whatever I want. And you've pulled the body of Christ out of being in one accord. And it's had a negative effect on the whole kingdom in earth. Not the kingdom as much as the church. And how the lost, we haven't reconciled them. We've actually pushed people away. Here's the third one. Fusion occurs through entrainment. And I got to end right now. But I got to explain entrainment first. A Dutch scientist, Christian Hugven, said he noticed this idea of entrainment. And what he noticed was he had two of the identical clocks. Now, I don't know why you'd have identical clocks on your wall, but he had identical clocks that had the things that went back, you know, pendulums that went back, thank you, went back and forth. And what he noticed was the pendulums would sync together. And he thought that was interesting because they were swinging together. So he knocked one out of sync. And when he came back about an hour later, they were swinging together. You see, when you get two things of the exact same frequency, if you remember that commercial, and this will show your age. If you remember that commercial, that Memorex commercial, they took a glass and they put a speaker next to it and says, our sound is so clear that we can shatter this glass. And then the glass shattered. Remember what was actually happening? Slow speed camera, you would see the crystal. This is glass. You would see the crystal glass waving like this because the frequency was tugging it to become unified. This is what I want to tell you. All of us in this room were created to be in one accord. That's why life is so miserable when we're not in one accord. Right? Show this video quick. I'm going to have them show this video while I'm talking. You can look at it. I'm going to be talking. There's a video up here you're going to see. Because this is entrainment. Entrainment is when you're of the same frequency with the body of Christ, you become one with the body. It's when we're operating in different frequencies. Go show the video of the, oh, you don't have the video. Okay. But there's a video of a bridge in Tacoma. It's called the Nakoma Narrows Bridge, and they'll have this video ready in the future. But the Nakoma Narrows Bridge, wind, they didn't realize this, wind came through the valley and it hit the strings of the cable. It was a cable bridge, hit the strings. The cables created a noise, a frequency that was the same frequency as the cement and metal in the bridge, and the bridge started doing this. Now, concrete and metal do not bend like this, but it began to bend because it's nothing more than vibrations, and it was trying to entrain with the sound of the vibrations, eventually shattering and falling. The reality is an entrainment. And what I believe is God's calling you and I to entrain with one another so that we can become one and we can overcome the enemy on earth as in heaven. And to entrain into the kingdom of God. That we begin to entrain in the understanding that our minds become so in sync with the kingdom of God, that wherever we go, we do not fear, we do not doubt, but we stand firm saying, you know what? There is a supernatural, invisible force that you don't see, but I know is here right now. So I'm not worried, even though you're worried, because I know that I'm part of a kingdom that is not passing away. No matter what happens to this country, no matter what happens to every kingdom that's been on earth, I'm part of a kingdom that has always been the top dog. And there's a supernatural power that we operate in.